Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Matthew's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Verse number 25. I just want to begin reading this whole passage to you this morning, and then we'll kind of tear it apart a little bit and see if we can't learn something. At the time Jesus said, verse 25, at the time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Master, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that it would be even as the day that you spoke for the very first time. May it be alive in us. Bring your word alive by your Holy Spirit. I know that I do not have that capability as a speaker. Only you can make this word a living word for each person in this room. I submit to you, and as others submit to you, may you be honored and glorified in our study of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21 to 22, Luke handles this same passage, but he handles it a bit differently than Matthew. Sometimes when people read that, they read the same words in two different places, and it seems to be in a different context. They get worried over that. But we can ascertain from all four of the Gospels that Jesus preached these things more than once. He carried these themes as he went from town to town. As the hearers were new, the word, though it was in repetition in some places, was used in different settings. So don't worry over that, that this particular portion is divided up and finds itself in a different context in another gospel. Simply, Jesus was giving it in another place, and Matthew is different in his design of his book than what Luke is. Luke, if you want a more historical, chronological account of the life and ministry of Jesus, Luke's gospel will be the one to look at. Because Luke begins by saying he is writing, if you will, this chronological record of the life of Jesus, and then he picks it up again with the book of Acts and takes it on through the early church. Matthew, on the other hand, was building a picture of Christ as king. He was wanting us to see that Christ is the king of a kingdom. And so in his context, he puts it in this particular place. Luke says, at that time, Jesus full of joy through the Holy Spirit. And again, that could have been in a different context, but I like it. Once again, it says, at that time, Jesus full of joy through the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. I like that in the fuller context of this. That Jesus was speaking out of love and out of joy. I think we should receive it in that way. Praise the Lord that the gospel came to us, folks. Wow. On this day where we just baptized, Steve just baptized 4 children. We got to celebrate that. 4 children. What a more beautiful passage of scripture. I didn't align this. It came together in this fashion, okay? 2 separate things came and have collided into this moment. I believe, though, that the Holy Spirit's wanting us to reckon with that. That the gospel came to children of all ages. It's an amazing thing. I read this week, and I'm not going to mention names because I don't like politics in pulpits. I don't care for that. I read this week about one of the candidates for president who is out there on the trail and speaking a lot to get his name in the newspaper. And this was a particular article that was in the Wall Street Journal. And I'm not attempting to quote it verbatim, because in the context of the article, his name is used repeatedly, and that's not my purpose this morning. I just want you to realize something. This individual is confessing that he is a Christian as he moves across the country. His life choices are very contrary to the word. His statements concerning things like abortion are contrary to the word. And yet, he is standing on nearly every stage and calling himself to be a Christian. So this article, the author was actually challenging him a bit as to that. Why do you call yourself a Christian? And his statement was, well, I believe in the truths of God's word. So the author then asked the question, and there's a bit of a narrative in this article, asked the question, says, well, then have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And his statement was, well, no. He said, now, I'm investigating that. But he said, I have not taken that course. He says, that seems to be for some others who actually are contrary to many of the things that I believe in and hold to be true. And even the author of that Wall Street Journal article, I think, was somewhat confused because he came back once again and he said, but then you call yourself a Christian. He says, yes, I embrace the working of God and his love. And as a matter of fact, then the article takes a turn and he begins then to speak against evangelical Christianity who believe that only through the salvation, only salvation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. And his argument was, well, because those who believe such things also have standards and rules and all of this. And he says, I do not believe because I believe in a loving God who embraces all individuals and all lifestyles. As I read that article and in reflection of this passage of scripture that we have this morning, I just... Folks, first thing, not one of my points, but just first thing, we don't get to make up this, our rules on this. We don't get to say, okay, this is what God has to accept. Or, this is who I am, and I know that God loves me, and so therefore God has to accept me. We need to come to an understanding here this morning before we go any further that God is God and we are not. And that He is holy, and by nature, we are not. He is pure and set apart, but by our nature, we are not. We are fallen creatures. And our only hope is that God, in His love, sent His Son Jesus to die upon a cross so that we could be forgiven. And this marvelous, this glorious, this magnificent book that we have been given, that has been preserved for us these thousands of years, that has come down to us to study on this Sunday morning, is God's precious word to us. It's not a book of suggestions. It is God's word. And if we care to align ourselves to God, then we have to align ourselves to His word. Now, if we try to approach His word as the nation of Israel did and try to live it out, we will fail. That only leads us to our utter dependence upon Jesus Christ, our Savior. If we don't believe that, you should not have taken the bread, you should not have taken the cup and lifted it to your lips this morning. Because Paul addresses that. He says, to eat this bread, to drink of this cup, unworthily is to eat and drink, forgive this, but damnation to your soul. For you and I to call ourselves Christians, we need to be one. Bill McKee cannot make you a Christian. Steve Terry cannot make you a Christian. There's not a person in this room or a group of individuals in this room that can make you a Christian. The only way that you can become a Christian is if you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. I am as much of a sinner as you are a sinner and in need of a Savior, Jesus. Together, we come into this house to remember what He has done for us, and then to look into His Word to understand how He wants us to live and walk. With all that said, there will be many who will call themselves Christian, but the first thing has to be that they have surrendered their life to Jesus, and they love and appreciate His Word for their lives. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Then let's get into this passage a little bit. I want to talk to you about the revelation of the kingdom, because this stays in context with what Matthew was concerned about. This revelation of the kingdom has come to children. That's the first part of this. Let me read it one more time. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. This is hidden truth, hidden in plain sight. It almost is an oxymoron in one sense. You know, you got both sides going at the same time. Hidden truth, but hidden in plain sight. When one searches for kingdom truth, we have to search with eyes of faith. I'll let it sink in. When we search for kingdom truth, we must use eyes of faith. The message is hidden, he says, from the wise and learned. So what, you got to be stupid to believe? That's not what he's saying. Knowledge, you see, is a faith killer or a faith confirmer. Let me say it one more time since I stumbled. Knowledge is a faith killer or a faith confirmer. And it goes like this. If knowledge is sought first, you cannot get to faith. But if you will believe then you can add all the knowledge that you desire on top of it, and it will only confirm what you have believed. Now, whether you accept that this morning or not, it's true. I'm watching, I talk to people that I love, and people that are around me, and people that reach out to me all the time, and they want to be able to figure this thing out before they will believe. They want to read books, they want to research, they want to do all these different things before they will believe. And I will immediately tell them, you'll never get there. Because the human cannot understand the deity. The temporary cannot understand the eternal. I can just give you one statement this morning that not a single person in here can really latch hold of. And that is that there's coming a time where time will be no more. Our lives are so ordered, our lives are so fixed around time, that we cannot understand or comprehend a time or a generation or an existence where time does no longer exist. But that's what my Bible says. That we are working and laboring and living toward a time where time will be no more. There'll be no more clocks. There'll be no rising and setting of the sun because the sun will shine all the time. You see, we cannot even take the baby steps to understand what is the eternal. You have to believe. Hebrews 6 says we must believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It all has to begin with God exists. You know, that's the reason why in my heart and as I develop any plan of salvation or put together anything, I want to start with creation. I believe that you've got to begin with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in order to understand that God, in His great love, sent His Son into this world to die for mankind. It begins to make sense when you realize that God was the creator of all of this, that He would know how to redeem man who had turned away from Him all those many thousands of years ago back in the garden. Some are getting hung up on the time signatures on things. It's interesting to me, and I heard this just this past week, as a scientist was saying, well, one thing, I'm not going to go into the thing because it's not relevant, but he said, well, one thing that we had studied and thought was true for many, many years, we have now found not to be true. You see, that's how scientists, that's how knowledge dwellers, that's how they work. When they find greater knowledge or more knowledge, they simply turn and go, well, we were wrong, okay, now we've learned and here we go. Now this is what is right. My faith holds. My faith is settled upon the rock of ages. I am hidden in Christ. You see, and that doesn't change. When you believe, when you come with the simplicity of a child, children, oh my goodness, they're so blessed. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was remembering back, my friend and I, Mike, summertime was grand. Summertime used to go all the way from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And man, it was grand. When they let us out of that prison called school, man, we knew that we had 3 months to just have a riot. And we did. There were days that we did nothing. Mike's dad had a little Buick Century that sat in their yard the whole time that I was growing up. It was just red, and it sat there. I don't think it even had an engine in it. And we would lay on the hood and the windshield of that and watch the clouds go by. And we would plan all the incredible things that we were going to do with our lives. You know, both of us talked about going into the service, and both of us talked about where our journey was going to go. And, you know, we just could dream, and there was no, you know, at dinner time, we just went home and we ate. We didn't have to worry about where the money came from to get the food or anything. Do you remember, how many can remember back that far where there was just this, there wasn't any worries. There weren't any stresses. Everything was so clear, so easy. You see, that's why it's so easy for children to accept the Lord, because when they hear that the Son of God, who created everything, came into the world, died upon a cross so that we could be saved, they go, okay, then I need to do that. And they accept Jesus as their Savior. And they're baptized in water, and many times they're filled with His power and His Holy Spirit, and they're not afraid to tell anybody about Jesus, because why wouldn't you want to tell everybody about somebody who came and died for you so that you could have life everlasting and promises all kinds of good things to you? I mean, why wouldn't you want to tell people about that? And then we grow up and we become teenagers. And we've got all these different sources of information that are pouring stuff in, and many of them are proclaiming, as I shared with you, from their national pulpits, God is love. You don't need this Jesus. You don't need to try to follow this Bible. So then all of a sudden this knowledge is coming in, and it's in conflict with the simplicity of their belief. Young people, this is what it's all about, being a teenager. Choose this day whom you will serve. Either believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him your whole life, or chase after the emptiness of the world. That's the only two choices. You say, oh, Pastor, you gave him that second choice. Hey, that's the reality, folks. Only 3 out of 10 who grew up in church end up staying in church. You know why? Because knowledge either confirms or contends against our faith. And many times we would just as soon believe a lie, thinking that it gives us more territory to cover, than to believe the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, come as children. Only those who come as children. Now you see, you can understand then why it gets more difficult the older that we get to turn our lives over to Christ. Because you see, we get all of this baggage. Hello? And then we're also afraid that if we give our lives to Christ, that He might not want some of the same things that we have going in our lives. Can I tell you this morning, receiving Jesus by faith is not the time for you to be worrying over what may be in conflict with Christ. Does that make any sense? Give your life to Christ and let Him sanctify you by His Holy Spirit. You know how He'll do it? He'll do it from within. He's not going to use other people who are going to come and tell you how you're supposed to live, but He will do it from within. And if you will learn to listen to the voice of His Holy Spirit, He will let you know when something's not beneficial to your life or when it is. And you can walk in that. You can walk in that power. You can walk in that glory. And you can walk in that joy. Hallelujah! It's not about pleasing other people or falling into a set of rules. It's about coming to know Christ as your Savior and allowing Him to be the Lord of your life and realize that He will direct your path. Thank you, Lord. Oh, by the way, you know, I've heard all kinds of different things about this children thing. The word there is nepios in the original language, and it means infant or baby or one who cannot speak. Those are the ones that the gospel comes to. In other words, it comes to those who are willing to come to nothing. I need you, Lord Jesus. I cannot cleanse myself from sin. I will not be in heaven. Do you hear me? I will not be in heaven if you do not cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But if you do, then my hope is set on nothing else than you, Lord Jesus. Can you see, for just a little bit, can you see how important that these elements become to those who really believe? It becomes such a sacred moment as we once again reflect on what Jesus has done for us, not just in the immediate sense, not just while we're breathing, but for all of eternity. Hallelujah. There's more, but I'm not going to give it to you. You'll have to come back another time. We'll get more later. Hey, the second part of this comes to in verse number 27. Look at it with me. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Wow. The revelation of the kingdom has come to those that he has chosen. This is incredible. Now, you know, we immediately, if you're into doctrinal things, you will immediately recognize this as being one of the proof texts for the doctrine of election. That is, that God chooses just certain people. I hope to broaden your thinking on that as we progress through this. But understand this. The Father has committed all power and authority to the Son. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Matthew 8:27, the disciples recognize this. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Ephesians 1:22, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. 1 Peter 3:22, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels and authorities and powers in submission to him. So everything on earth, everything in heaven is in submission to Christ. As he has redeemed this world, he will place it then under the authority of the Father. So the redemption of mankind and this world has been given, and all authority has been given to the Son. The understanding of God the Father is known only through Jesus. The disciples said, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said to them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Understanding of God the Son is only by his Holy Spirit. How many of you have given your life to Jesus? You have accepted Christ as your Savior. Okay. You didn't do that on your own. You may be able to come to an occasion where you made a decision to follow Christ, but you could never have understood him. You could have never come to that place of faith had you not been drawn to him by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God draws us to the Son Jesus. The Son Jesus redeems us by his sacrifice because of the love of the Father. Man cannot breach the realm of deity on his own efforts or in his own knowledge. So we come back again. Those who are trying to find God by reading all of the various things that are out there to be read, thinking that with the accumulation of knowledge that they are going to find redemption and everlasting life, they are on a fool's errand. What they need to do is find the simplicity of the truth. You know, there was a very important man once who got leprosy, talked about in the scripture. And No one could cure leprosy. But a little servant girl who had come from Israel said to this very important man, I know a prophet. I know of a prophet. If you could get this important man to that prophet, he could heal him. Well, the word came to this important man, and he said, well, we'll go. And they connected with kings and all of this, and I'm not going to go into all that mess, but he came and settled outside this prophet's house, sent the servant in to get the prophet to come out and heal him of his leprosy. The prophet said, go tell him to dip 7 times in the Jordan. And that man goes, what? Are there not rivers where I came from, where I could dip myself as many times as I want and I would not be healed of this? He was angry, ready to leave in a huff. And his servant said, Master, if he would have asked some huge thing for you, if he would have asked for lots of money or something as in exchange for this healing, would you not have given it to him? Yes. And in essence was saying, what do you have to lose to go and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River? So this important man went to the Jordan River, just a muddy puddle of water, basically, and he wades out into that and dips himself down 7 times in that Jordan River, and on the 7th time came up whole. Now, you see, many people today would really like it if God would give us this detailed effort on our part, and by following that detailed effort on our part, we could be assured of heaven. But in essence, the Lord is saying to us, I need for you to be dipped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will do that, the leprosy of sin will be washed off of you. You will be made whole for all of eternity. You will have access to the glorious things of God, and you will have new and fresh purpose for your life. But Lord, isn't there something else that I could learn? Isn't there something other, some great thing that I could say or do? He says, no, only believe. All things are possible to him who believes. Folks, we have to come as children and accept that what God has done for us in provision is sufficient for all of eternity. Lord, I believe that you died for this sinful man. Now you see, if you've never accepted Christ, it's going to be very difficult for you to breach everything that you already know. It's going to be tough for you to get past all of your knowledge to the simplicity of faith. But hear me this morning. If by the help of the Holy Spirit today, you are beginning to sense that God has done something in the person of Jesus and that there is a hope for you for all of eternity if you will only believe that Jesus died upon the cross so that you could be saved. You today can be saved. You today can be changed into the likeness of Christ. And you today can have the hope of heaven and eternity. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill to all men. Hallelujah. So, well, Pastor, that was part of the Christmas story. I'm telling you, part of the redemption story. I want to read another passage here. In John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, I look at verse number 20. My prayer, this is Jesus praying. My prayer is not for them alone, speaking of the disciples who had followed him around. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I got to keep reading. It's too good to stop. Are you following me? No? Okay. Father, I want those you've given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. As we believe on the Lord Jesus, he has promised us another just like unto himself, the Holy Spirit, who will come and make residence in us, who will lead us and guide us into all truth, who will be a comforter to us when we're struggling and in need, and who will never leave us or forsake us. Well, you say, but what about this thing that he's chosen, those he's chosen? I can tell you this morning, you're here. You're hearing the gospel. The Holy Spirit is in this room. You are one of the chosen that God has revealed his plan and promise to. Only believe. Only believe. You need to help me. Come on. Would you help me preach a little bit this morning? I want you to turn to the people on each side of you and just say to them, only believe. Come on, preach it. Come on, preach it. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be in your voice. Only believe. You see, that's the message we need to take out of this house. It's not only good for this inside these walls. It's good for the world to know. There's hope. There's peace. There's joy. There's forgiveness of sin. There's everlasting life. Only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some list of rules. It's not some list of things that you do and accomplish. It is about falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing his Spirit to come in and possess your life. You say, whoa, to possess me. Yes. You know, we talk about demon possession. They're making movies about it. They're making television shows. There's a new show coming out this fall that is dealing with demonic possession. Where is the show coming out that's going to be right on after it, talking about being possessed by the Spirit of God? Because if one is true, the other one is true. Let's believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to lead us, and to never leave us. Hallelujah. I don't know, does this interest any of you? And it seems to me like you should be getting happier. Listen, Matthew says this revelation has been something that has been long sought after. In Luke's context, there in chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, we read these words. He expands on it a little bit. He says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. There have been generations of individuals who long to hear what you and I are studying this morning. They would have loved to have had the opportunity to have been filled with the Spirit of God. Israel had the pleasure of seeing wonders as they were delivered from Egypt in the Exodus. They were all out there. Wow, pillar of fire, cloud, wow, Red Sea open, wow, manna every morning, wow. What if somebody would come along and said, here, I'm going to give you an opportunity that the third person of the Godhead can come and dwell in your life. and the Son of God has taken all your sins away. So all those laws and all of those things, they are written there for those who do not believe. They're written there to let you know that you serve a holy God. But you don't have to strive. You don't have to push to try and attain these things, because the Spirit of God wants to get down inside of you and enable you to walk a journey of faith in Christ that will complete all of the law and all of the prophets. I can tell you those people would have said, yeah, give me some of that. But it didn't come to them. Jesus said, you've got to recognize what privilege has come your way. I can tell you here that a good third of this world has never, ever heard the gospel message. There are still 64 unreached people groups. That is that they don't have the gospel in their language. They don't have a Bible that they can understand. No one is preaching the gospel anywhere around them so that they can hear and understand. You and I have been chosen to receive the Word of God. You didn't decide where you were born. You were privileged to be born in this land of the gospel. One of the men that came yesterday for the breakfast and stood up and spoke to us, he said, my goodness, you have churches on every corner in this town. And yet, by the thousands of people who are not redeemed, the message of the gospel, the truth of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit is all around. And yet countless individuals. My little dog was 19 years old. She's deaf and she's blind. And sometimes she's hilarious to watch. Bless her heart. You know, because she's going off of memory and we're in a fairly new place. And so she only knows it by what she's bumped into. And she'll take off thinking that she's heading toward where her food or her water's at, and she's going totally in the wrong direction. About 4 o'clock in the morning, one day last week, Sharon was gone to her mom's, and overnight, about 4 o'clock in the morning, she needed to go out, and I took her outside, and bless her heart, you know, she did her business, and then she was going to make her way back to the door, and she started heading to the neighbor, and she can barely walk, so she's hobbling across the driveway, and she's heading. I know she had to be thinking in her mind, oh, what a long way it is. It didn't seem this long when I left. Why am I giving you this story? Because I watch people, and they're struggling with life. They're blind. They're deaf. They can't realize that the gospel is all around them, that the hope and the thing that they need is right there on every corner. But they're running into walls, they're stumbling, they're falling down, they're grieving over life. When God has made a provision in Jesus Christ to give them life to its fullest. I can even say there are people right here in this room. The Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart. You know you need to accept Christ as your Savior. But all the stuff is getting in the way. Every time you try to reach out in the simplicity of faith to accept Him, the stuff gets in the way. You run into a wall. You're trying to figure it out. You're not going to figure it out. Now, I'm not afraid of knowledge. I'm not afraid of science. Because I believe when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can learn. I love to learn. And I love to read about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with what we do in this house. It's exciting to me. But it begins with, I believe. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that He is the rewarder of those who will diligently seek Him. Praise His name. Will you stand with me this morning? say, oh, Pastor, you didn't get to the best part. There are three verbs that are given in the last verses there. Come, take, learn. I would like for you to just, for a moment, preach them with me, would you? Would you say it? Come, take, learn. Jesus says, come unto me. All you who are laboring, trying to make this thing work, all of you that are carrying the burdens of life, come to me. And he says, take my yoke upon you. That is, enjoin yourself with me. You see, if it's horses or if it's oxen or whatever it is, if you're going to use more than one of them together, you've got to link them together so that they will begin to march together. Otherwise, if you don't have them linked together, then one will want to go this way and one will go this way, and you've got nothing but confusion. So you need to link them together, and that's called a yoke. And the Lord Jesus says, just come and be yoked with me. And by the way, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In other words, You're not going to get rubbed to death by being yoked to me. You're not going to find life harder, but rather I'm going to be the one in the yoke pulling the greater weight. I am going to be the one who is leading you in paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I'm going to be the one who's going to be helping you through the difficult times. Yoked to me. And then he says, learn. Really learn of me. Now, you cannot learn about Jesus until you come to him. Because none of it will make sense. Like, oh my goodness, it's just all these different things. No, it begins with the simplicity of faith, believing that Jesus came out of heaven, born of Mary, grew up so that he could experience life as you and I know it, died upon a cross, put into a tomb, and was raised from the dead on the third day. And if you and I will believe that he did all of that for us, that's where it all began. Hallelujah. Then you can begin to learn. And oh my goodness, he has some deeper things to teach us. But it has to begin at the cross. If you're here this morning, and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you do not have an absolute assurity of heaven, he wants to give you that this morning. You have been chosen by God to receive the message of hope. If nothing else, you should say, oh, thank you, God. Thanks for caring enough about me. Thanks for loving me enough that you gave me the message of hope and truth. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, why not today? Why not today? I want to invite you. Elders, if you would, wherever you're at in the sanctuary, would you guys come on down here? Maybe if your wives are present, they could come down here too. And just if a lady comes, she would feel more comfortable with another lady. I want to invite you, if you need to know Jesus this morning, you say, oh my goodness, you mean I would come all the way down to the front? And no, you don't have to accept him in this way. You can accept him right where you're at. This is an invitation for you to come, and someone here will help you learn about Jesus. They will pray with you and for you. This is an opportunity. You hear me? You can stop right where you're at right now and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And my only hope for eternity and everlasting life is to accept you as my Savior. I accept you, Lord Jesus. I believe that your sacrifice was made for me. And if you really mean that in your heart, you see, with mouth the confession is made, but with our hearts we believe unto righteousness. So it can happen right where you're standing, or it can happen down here at the altar, or We have a prayer room around there, and someone will be glad to meet you in there and pray with you. What I'm saying to you is there's ample opportunity here today for you to meet Jesus and to begin a journey of a lifetime. Now, that's both a privilege and a problem. Because you can never say you never heard the gospel. You never say that you did not have an opportunity. Because this day is marked in eternity in your life that God so loves you that he gave Jesus to come into your life. What a privilege. Hallelujah. Oh, this isn't a time for sorrow. Come on, sweeten up your faces. This is a time. Praise the Lord. How many are glad this morning that the Lord Jesus found you and brought the gospel to you? Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. You see, we could have been among one of those people groups in the world that has never heard the name of Jesus, but we've been privileged. God has chosen us to bring the gospel to us. Don't carry it from this house heavily, but carry it with a smile on your face and say, "Woo, hallelujah, I believe all things are possible." Amen?